my part and this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus for my cleansing. This my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when tears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth
from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine. But with the precious blood of Christ, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Bless the Lord. I love that song. It covers it all, doesn't it? Yep. Praise God.
With a humble heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to you. Make my spirit anew. I worship you with spirit. I worship you with truth. Make my life a holy praise unto you. On bended knee I come with the humble. Before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to you, make my spirit anew. I worship you in spirit. I worship you in truth. Make my life a holy praise unto you.
Now corporately, please.
On bended knee we come, with humble hearts we come, bowing down before your holy throne. Make our spirit anew. We worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth. Make your church a holy praise unto you. We worship you. church of holy praise unto you.
Lord, heal me, Morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for each one of us, Lord. Lord, just be with us and reveal your word to us and help us to receive and understand everything you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to be talking, we're going to be speaking from John chapter 6. The part that I'm speaking from is a very difficult, probably one of the most difficult passages in the Bible to receive. Because it's different. And a lot of people have trouble with it. But it's about receiving Him. It's about experiencing everything He has for us. This morning is Communion Sunday, and we're going to be having communion. And it was impressed on me to speak from this today. And something else that was brought to my mind was a song that came out in 1970. It's a secular song, sung by Johnny Cash, called Flesh and Blood. Anybody remember that? Sing it for you. You want everybody to go home early, don't you? Flesh and blood needs flesh and blood, and you're the one I need. Now, it's a song about a man that apparently he's on some type of nature hike, and he's experiencing all the wonders of nature, all of God's creation, and he's singing about that. But then he says, flesh and blood needs flesh and blood, and you're the one I need. Of course, he's talking about a love. He's talking about a woman that he loves. And it's very true because God knew that back in Genesis chapter 2, God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. So he provided a woman for him. And I know I could sing that song to my wife, and I would mean it with all my heart, flesh and blood, these flesh and blood, and you're the one I need. But I know, and she also knows, that there's another flesh and blood that I need, more than anything else. And that's the flesh and the blood that Jesus gave to us on that day on the cross. First Corinthians 10, 1 through 4, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Chapter 6 of John, it starts out with Jesus feeding the multitude, taking care of their physical needs. And it ends with Jesus talking about their spiritual needs. They both involve bread. Jesus, after feeding the multitude, he got on a ship. Well, he walked on the water and caught up with the ship that had left before him, the boat, across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when he got there, the people, they didn't know where he was, so they went looking for him, and they found him on the other side. John chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Jesus didn't really answer their question, did he? He spoke directly to their need. Jesus was not ashamed, not afraid to speak what was on his mind. Then he goes on to say, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's the way the world thinks, isn't it? That we have to do things in order to please God. Yes, the things we do either please or displease God, but that's not really what he requires of us. I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. We should. But it's not about our performing. It's about what he did for us. And we always keep that in mind. They said, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Believe, receive, live for. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. They're still thinking about the bread they ate yesterday. They're still thinking about the physical things, aren't they? Things of this world. They wanted him to provide more bread. Show us what you can do. Many people thought that he was nothing more than a sideshow, entertainment. Others thought that could provide all their physical needs, and that's all they're concerned with. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. See, in verse 32, it talked about the true bread that came down from heaven. Verse 33 talks about the bread of God. Verse 35 refers to the bread of life. I am the bread of life, he said. Seven times in the book of John, Jesus uses the term, I am. Actually, he uses it as a title. There's a couple other times he uses I am as well. But seven times, the I am titles are found in the book of John. Nowhere else. And here, then at 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. 10:9, I am the door to the sheepfold. 10:11, I am the good shepherd. 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. 15:1, I am the true vine. Of course, they all look back to Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. They knew what he was talking about. They knew who he was claiming to be. He was claimed to be the I am of the Bible. He was claiming deity. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. There's a break in here between verses 40 and 41, and it's believed by many, and I think it's true, that Jesus was through speaking to the people that met him on the shore of the lake. And in starting in verse 41, he was teaching in the synagogue. It says, the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. When it says the Jews, it's talking about the religious leaders, because just about everybody he was talking to was Jewish. But John specifically refers to the Jews, and that's the religious leaders. They murmured at him. They had heard, either they were there when he spoke before, or they heard it was reported to him, that he had said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They knew what he was talking about. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? They were looking at him from a worldly point of view. He had grown up around them. They knew him. He was working in the carpenter shop with his father. He had brothers and sisters. They knew them. Jesus said it's not easy for a prophet to be recognized or to be accepted in his hometown. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. He knew what they were talking about. They were talking to themselves, they were talking amongst themselves, but he knew what they were saying. He knows everything that we think, everything that we do, of course. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. He's referring to Isaiah 54:13. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. The bread of life. Without that bread of life, what is there? There's death. He's not saying they're going to live physically forever. He's going to say eternal life that we have, that he provides for us when this life is over. He goes on to say in verse 49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. The first instance he was talking about physical death. Here he's talking about spiritual death. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give you for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Strove, it means to quarrel, to dispute, to fight, to war. They weren't too happy about what he was saying. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. This is the difficult part of the Bible. It refers to a little further on as the hard sayings that they couldn't accept. Why couldn't they accept it? Does anybody here not understand, not know what he's talking about? We know because the Spirit reveals to us. He's talking about his sacrifice. He's talking about a relationship that we have with him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Why doesn't he say the Son of God? Because the Son of God couldn't die for us. He had to become human flesh in order to die. He had to be the Son of Man. Because as sin came into the world through a man, it had to be removed from us, the penalty of it, by a human. Yes, he's fully God, but he had to become the Son of Man in order to save us. Because God can't die. God doesn't die. But becoming flesh, his physical body was able to die. He paid the ultimate price. What do you mean by eating? Means to partake of. Four things that I'm going to talk about a little bit about eating. Eating is a necessary act. I can look at the bread all I want. I can admire it. I can touch it. I can smell it. But unless I partake of it, unless I eat of it, it's not going to nourish me, is it? It's the same thing spiritually. Knowing the truth and talking about it does no good. It has to be received into my heart. Second thing is eating is responding to a recognized need. When someone is really hungry and they know it, he'll gladly eat whatever's put before him, right? A starving man doesn't ask questions. Spiritual point of view, once a sinner recognizes his need for Jesus, he will receive him as a Savior. He will accept him. He recognizes his need for salvation. Eating involves an act of appropriation. The table may be set. There may be a generous portion put before me. But it doesn't do me any good. It doesn't become mine until I actually eat it, right? So it is spiritually. Jesus may be presented to me, and all his attributes may be made known to me, but not until I appropriate him, not until I receive him, not until I accept him, does it do me any good. Eating is an intensely personal act. Nobody can do it for you. Watching someone else eat doesn't fill my stomach. Same thing spiritually. No one can partake of Jesus Christ for us. We don't get salvation through what other people do. Just because we go to a church doesn't make us a Christian. We can call ourselves a Christian. Just because you happen to be in a garage doesn't make you a car. Just because your family are Christians, that doesn't make you a Christian. We have to receive it. We have to partake of what he has to offer. Feeding upon Christ. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a relationship. It's not a one-time event. How do we feed upon Christ? By praying? By reading his word? By fellowshipping? By worshiping him? It's a relationship. Verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. You notice the two are separated. When we partake of our communion in a few minutes, we're going to do the bread first, and then we're going to do the grape juice. It's separate. Because the blood, when it comes out of the meat, makes the meat dead. The life is in the blood. In his death, his blood was separated from his flesh. But we don't feed on a dead Jesus. We feed on a Jesus that died and is alive. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Dwelleth, that means to abide. That means to remain. It also means communion. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. I live by the Father, and he that partakes of me will live by me. That doesn't mean next to, it means by him. It's like doing something by the book. It doesn't mean that you're next to the book. It means you're following what you're being told. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. I'm not talking too much about the wine, because that's not mentioned as much, although he does mention his blood. The wine in Jewish thought represents joy. And since wine is a symbol for the blood, then it's reasonable to say that his blood represents joy. And why wouldn't it? He shed that blood for us. That blood cleanses of all our sins, our unrighteousness. There are four basic views as to what communion, what we call communion, or the Lord's Supper, represents. One says that the bread and wine literally change into the body and blood of Jesus. Another one says the bread and wine actually contain the body and blood of Jesus. The third one, that there is a spiritual presence of Christ in the bread and wine. But the fourth, the one that I believe, it's a memorial. It's symbolic of what Jesus did for us. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. Every time we partake, every time we take communion, then we need to remember exactly what it's all about. I'm going to ask George and Bill to come up and start passing out the emblems, the elements. First Corinthians 11, 23 through 33. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I'm going to ask everybody to do right now what it says in verse 28, to examine yourself. Are you prepared spiritually or emotionally to drink this right now, to eat this right now? We need to examine our hearts. Do you have anything against somebody right now? I'm going to ask you all to bow your head and talk to the Lord about anything you may have against somebody else, or maybe anything in your life that may not be right with the Lord. Did everybody get served? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Lord, we thank you for what this represents. We thank you, Lord, for the body that you gave to be broken, to be beaten for us, Lord, to be nailed to a cross. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for us in providing this. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You may eat the bread. For as often as you eat this bread, I skipped ahead of him. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed for us. And we thank you, Lord, for this cup, what it represents. In Jesus' name. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You can drink the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Till he come. He is coming back, you know. Lord, we thank you.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Lord, how can we begin to even imagine everything that involves, Lord, and everything you went through for it? Lord, help us to always keep that in mind. Help us, Lord, to always remember. Lord, I pray that you'd go with each person here today as we go about our day and bring us back safely, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming.